Helping Hand, weekly feature here on HPR One Station statewide, also online at hawaiipublicradio.org each Friday afternoon. Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization or event in the community that offers assistance to the disabled and to other folks who are in need. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're learning about Blueprint for Change. Blueprint for Change, nonprofit that, according to their website, blueprintforchange.org, works to improve the responsiveness of child welfare services here in the Aloha State, trying to develop and support statewide series of community-driven service delivery models known as neighborhood places. We'll find out more about it. We're privileged to be learning more with our guest today here at HPR, Christina Simmons, Program Director for the Neighborhood Place of Kalihi, and also Executive Director of Blueprint for Change, Stephen Morse. Thank you, Christina and Stephen, for coming over here today. I appreciate you guys.
Mahalo, Dave, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You're totally welcome. And Stephen, explain a little further the mission, the goals of Blueprint for Change and what it is and how it works to try to help out people in need in our community.
Yeah, well, we've been around for about 15 years. we're a master contractor for the Department of Human Services for the Neighborhood Place program statewide. We are based in community statewide. Our neighborhood places are where there have been high reports of child abuse and neglect reported to the Department of Human Services. Our neighborhood places have all been community driven. And they're located in these communities where there have been reports of child abuse and neglect. And that's basically, we're all about prevention. We're a prevention program. What we try and do is provide the families and parents particular with support and strengthening services and get them to learn about protective factors in caring for their children and reducing risk factors.
And when you say you're in these places that have been areas where they've shown to have high reports of child abuse essentially going on, where are all these locations?
On Oahu, we have two full-fledged neighborhood place programs in Kalihi at the Kuhio Park Terrace, the Family Resource Center there. We have one out in Waianae on Mill Street. We have a small satellite in Waimanalo on Wailea Street. We have one right in the heart of Happy Valley on Maui on Market Street in Wailuku, the neighborhood place of Wailuku it's called. And then we have two on the Big Island, one in Puna and one in Kona. And then we have two on Kauai now, which we just started last November. And they're called Nana's House, which is in Waimea. Mm. And we have Hale Ho'omalu in Kapa'a.
I've heard of Nana's House. And so while it's good that we have these and it's a blessing, it's also frightening because you've essentially pointed out they're there because these areas have had enhanced reports of trouble with an extremely vulnerable group of folks.
We're voluntary. People can walk in. They don't need an appointment. They don't need a referral. We like to call ourselves a diversion program sometimes. Diversion being that we try and keep our families out of the child welfare system, because once they get into it and are referred and are in the system, it's a crapshoot in terms of keeping their children in the family. One of the last things we always want to see is children removed from the household.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Christina, who are the folks in the community that you, when folks think of these neighborhood places, and again, you're a program director for the one in Kalihi, who are the folks in the community that you guys want to reach out to, or that if listeners, are thinking of any of the locations you said, not just yours, but, speaking for all of them, if you will, in that approach, who are the folks that people in the community should think of as maybe if they want to maybe refer them or try to get them involved in something like this?
We service the larger Honolulu area. We actually do more than that, as long as they're willing to drive to us, because the mileage gets really, really big. But when we think of our families, just regular families, you'd be surprised.
At what's going
people,
on?
Well, people who want to learn skills, parenting skills. Some of them are dealing with some drug abuse issues. So we really try to hook people up. If we don't have the skill set to help a family, we really act to advocate and hook them up with some of our community neighbors that have those skill sets. So we service lots and lots of families. Many of them want to learn how to help their kids with school, for example. We have a I brought a little ad here for our 24/7 dads. So we have a men's support group. When we do our advertising for these kinds of groups, we do it fairly strategically. We do it in our neighborhood, of course. We do it with our providers that we know from Child and Family Service and some of the other nonprofits, some of the health centers. We also do it with the probationary officers.
For folks who are getting out of incarceration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Explain this 24/7, this the father thing that you were
Yeah,
talking.
It's a wonderful workshop series once a week where men get together. It's just for men only. And there's a set curriculum, but it's very flexible. It's been used across the country many, many, many places in prisons. It's been used in Head Start programs for men. And it really asks the question about what legacy do you want to leave for your children? And what does that look like on the ground? And how do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our children? How do we take care of our spouse or our partner? And what does that mean to leave a legacy for our children? And I think the men get a lot out of it. It's a lot of fun when I peek my head in there and listen. They get into really intense conversations. The people in the room tend to be from a variety of different ethnic groups as well as socioeconomics. It's really good when it's a mixed group like that. You get a lot out of it from listening from different perspectives.
And these are men who are vulnerable to becoming abusive or have been abusive?
Some are and some aren't. We've gotten some that just say, hey, I want to learn more.
About good parenting skills.
Yeah, about good parenting skills.
And are some ever placed in there via like as a result of an incident that's part of the therapeutic response?
We have a few like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. So it's a mixed bag.
Well, that shows that it is and that it can be a service that is referred on, you know, is mm-hmm. used in that case when there is a real serious mm-hmm. situation to try to help people to rethink how
what they're doing.
Yeah, and who they are, and by doing that, maybe in that peer-to-peer kind of way, you know, I'm assuming the goal is that people, these guys will think before they act.
It's more about thinking about, yeah, it's not about necessarily how you parent in a particular situation. It's what is your role?
Yeah.
What did you bring? What did your father, how did he, you know, treat you?
Sure.
And how is that affecting what you're doing with
right.
your...
Right, and inevitably yeah. trying to prevent any kind of abuse
yeah.
That could occur.
Mm-hmm.
And by getting, you know, when you change your mindset, certainly yep. that's got to be
exactly.
a way to do that. Stephen, there are likely people in the community that could help make the mission easier for providing this kind of help and helping folks sort through these issues to inevitably, in the long run, have a better family that won't be pulled apart mm-hmm. because of people, you know, because of a need mm-hmm. a lot of the time. You know, as hard as that is, sometimes yeah. that happens because there's something so terrible going on that without that intervention, it could end up being, you know, like the Talia Williams thing or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, in no doubt. But what are some of the longer-term goals or aspirations when you have to try to make a difference, ways you think that either other agencies that you could partner with or the community could help to make this
yeah.
work?
Well, you know, inherently we already have some built-in partnerships. On our Blueprint for Change, our neighborhood place programs are basically subcontracted to some really large, prominent social service agencies already. In the case of Neighborhood Place of Kalihi, Our subrecipient agreement to provide these services that Christina does are subcontracted to Parents and Children Together, mm-hmm. the organization commonly known as PACT.
Who we've had on the program before.
We've had on the program.
People.
Our neighborhood places of Wailuku and Nana's House and Haliho'omalu on Kauai are subcontracted to Child and Family Service.
We've also had
our Waianae neighborhood place is contracted to an organization called Hale Na'aupono, which is out in the Waianae. They have an English name. It's the Waianae Community Mental Health Organization or something to that effect. But they go by Hale Na'aupono. They're a larger nonprofit that deals with people that have mental health and mental disorders for the most part.
And they're in Waianae.
Funding for nonprofits is something that we're always chasing and always in need of. So we're constantly fundraising, of course. Now, it's the life grants and contributions, donations are our lifeblood, basically. Our contract with the Department of Human Services provides us with just so much.
Right.
In order to go the extra mile, we're always looking for the public to donate funding to us through different programs. The one that I can think of right away is from last year and this year again, we're going to be one of the organizations that are sponsored by the Friends of Hawaii Charities. They are the beneficiary of the Sony Open funding, the funding coming down through the Sony Open. Mm-hmm. And in December, we'll start a campaign again called Aloha for Hawaii Charities, and people can donate to Blueprint for Change online
through that,
and we'll be able to provide more information if they check with us on our website. There'll be some information how to do that very shortly on our website. So,
how about volunteer opportunities?
Volunteers, basically, we keep our staff very small at Blueprint for Change. So, if there's an interest in volunteering, we'll usually try and hook them up with one of our neighborhood places.
Right, that's what I was going to say. So that you would find a place locally, maybe that's perhaps near where they are, since you guys are in all these
the neighborhood place of Kalihi is a prime example of how volunteers have really served them really well.
Talk a little bit about that, Christine. Yeah. What do you have in the way of volunteer opportunities, or how have they been useful? Any stories that you think are inspiring?
Yes. Two of our staff actually started as volunteers in the community and who came into our program, who really took advantage of the opportunities that we gave them to skill build. And from there, they actually applied for positions and we hired them. So one's a program assistant. Both are program assistants. Right now, for example, we have a master's in social work student that's working with us. It just started out, and we're looking at another Hawaiian studies student possibly to start working with us. We prefer, for me, in our programs, we prefer a long-term commitment with our volunteers.
That's good. We
also, just to let you know, our like we mentioned earlier, the neighborhood place is housed in our family center. And our family center has technology centers. So at Kuhio Park Terrace, we have tech centers where we teach basic computer skills. As you know, there are many, many new immigrants who come to Hawaii, and many of them are in Kalihi, the highest percentage in the whole state. So for us, for people just to get a job at McDonald's nowadays, you can't just go and sign a piece of paper and turn in your application. You have to go online. So for many of our families that are new immigrants, they really don't have the skill set. They don't understand that. That means you need a resume. You need to attach things. It means you need an email. Mm-hmm. You need a phone.
So you help them put together this package of material.
Yes, we do. And we work really closely with our Economic Development Center, our Head Start if they need preschool. You know, we really look at them in a holistic fashion, not they might abuse their children. No, they need a whole variety of a safety net under them where they can really start to work and produce and be a productive citizen in the United States. So we work very closely with our staff, extremely skilled staff in teaching in the technology area, especially to adults, which is very different than teaching kids.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's like for their lifeblood to go out and make a living.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's a huge motivation rather than something they're aspiring for their future. I can see I can only imagine what it would be like. Do you need computer equipment for this? Is there
so
supplies?
So right now, we would love if we had someone who wanted to volunteer to teach right now because we lost some funding. So if someone has a skill set that they would want to volunteer and help us teach, that would be fantastic. Right now, Department of Human Service actually provided us with some computers, and we just put those in one of our computer centers, so that'll be okay for a while. Software, if people want to donate so we can get some high-end software, because we're trying to teach what they're going to see when they go out to
into the workplace.
Into the workplace, and so we kind of have to keep up, and our computers are getting pretty rickety. So we got the hardware. Now we're ready for software, and if someone would like to donate specifically for that, Yahoo, we'd be super happy. We want to get, I think he's looking at Windows 8, 2008 or 10. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing to put into people's minds. That's exactly what I was hoping that you would come prepared to share, and I thank you for doing that.
Yes.
Before I give your contact information and sort of wrap it up, just out of my own curiosity, when you were talking about, I was unaware, I always learn something from these. I didn't realize that you had put these neighborhood places in areas where there had just been so many tough circumstances for kids. Is it just kids, or is it also women too, or is it just children?
We focus, the neighborhood places really focus on parents a lot, and the end result is caring, better caring for their children. But our focus has always been
on the parents,
strengthening the parents so you keep the family intact and help them become self-sustaining and keep them out of the system, because once they get into the system, it's just you lose control over it, and it mm-hmm. gets really expensive and dangerous, and it traumatizes these families a lot. So it's expensive for them, and it's expensive for the state to be able to do that. So mm-hmm. Our focus is strengthening families and so that we in the long term prevent child abuse and neglect.
Any critical are there any critical on preventing this stuff and things that you may have learned or seen in your 15 years or this organization's 15 years that you can share with people that you just are may seem like no-brainers, but that you've noticed are a really big deal? Something that people get wrong, maybe something that people should look for, anything like that before we wrap it up that you just think is a critical thing that you've picked up over trying to figure out. Maybe it's a local cultural thing that is tough for people to address. Anything that you want to take a stab at, I would appreciate.
We emphasize the protective factors in our parent training and in all our services. We want to build protective factors into these families. Helping them make social connections, teaching them how to nurture and bond with the children, social and emotional relationships. The risk factors are pretty obvious, and Christina has mentioned substance abuse and housing and unstable housing and homelessness is a huge risk factor.
Domestic violence,
health problems, low incomes. And we realize they're there, but we try in our work with these families to just strengthen them by increasing the protective factors that are in them. They're there, and we just have to bring it out,
That's how it is with a lot of stuff in life. That's a good way of putting it. BlueprintForChange.org is the website, and 808-952-0488, best
Absolutely.
Phone number to reach
That's it.
You.
Yep.
And you can plug people in with something that is regional to them here in the state.
Sure.
Also, at HawaiiPublicRadio.org online, we have this whole interview and all their contact information and all the contact information for our other Helping Hand features that we have. Christina Simmons, Program Director, Neighborhood Place of Kalihi. Stephen Morse, Executive Director of Blueprint for Change. Thank you both for coming down to HPR today and for what you do for all the people in need out there. I really appreciate it.
Mahalo, Dave.
Thank you so much for having us.